The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Welcome to the Tony Tennant Show, Bipartisan Voices of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and the region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call, ask questions. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. Our Twitter handle is @ToneAndTenor, and our Instagram handle is @ToneAndTenorRadio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in Tone and Tenor in the search engine to find us. Today our topic is COVID-19. Now that the verdict is in, what's next? What's next? Now, that was appropriate intro to our show today.
It was very intentional.
Law and Order. I mean, Law and Order theme song. Very appropriate, though.
I think so.
Appropriate for the times that we are now living in. Yeah. As we all know that the officer in the George Floyd case was guilty of all three charges. And you know, as folks are being jubilant about that, Pat, mm-hmm. you cannot. That was just one case. And even prior to the announcement, there was another police shooting. Now,
well, we'll get into that.
What I want to say that before I brought it up, we have to always remember that every shooting is not intentional.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every shooting,
it just feels that way sometimes,
you know. But we'll get into that because that just brings up a lot of questions, a lot of answers, you know, and a lot of Texas two-stepping.
This one's more the backstroke. But honestly, so let's just get into it. Let me pull my notes up real quick.
Yeah. So we're gonna go right into. So we're gonna do that, and let's do it. You know.
Okay. So So we know 3 weeks after the trial was watched by the world, because we saw the video many months ago. The whole world saw this, right? The whole world saw it. It was a lot of pressure. 12 jurors from Hennepin County, which are residents of, Minnesota. It's in Minnesota. They delivered their verdict, 3 counts against the former police officer, Derek Chauvin, the murderer of George Floyd, right? I can say that without impunity now or getting in any trouble, because it's true. For kneeling on the neck of George Floyd for 9.5 minutes. Judge Peter Cowhill read the unanimous verdict. And again, he was found guilty on all accounts for, unintentional second degree murder, which I'm not too sure about that one. So it's unintentional second degree murder while committing a felony by the defendant. Third degree murder pertaining to imminently dangerous. Oh, that's a typo here.
Can't even read his own notes.
Yeah, I know. I think it's just weird.
But as you as you as
and
you,
the last one, I'll get back to that. But the last one is the third one was second degree manslaughter, culpable negligence, and creating unreasonable risk. So he was found guilty on all three of those after 10 hours of deliberating. He's up for 40 years in prison. But here is the caveat, folks. We don't know if it's consecutive or concurrent.
Pat, I'm going to jump you off there for a second. He's not up for 40 years. He could face more than that. I think, understanding, the max on the second-degree murder is 40.
Okay.
25 for the third.
Appreciate it.
And 10 for the manslaughter. So he could face up to a maximum of 75 years in prison.
Oh, wow. But that's only if they're consecutive, not concurrent.
See how even I engineer
I believe it'll go consecutive.
In Minnesota,
no,
you
probably
can
go concurrent because it all happened within the same crime. It wasn't like he did one murder, then it was another murder or whatnot. Yeah. So that would go consecutively. Mm-hmm. But there is, I believe there was 5 aggravating circumstances that the DA provided as well, I think, because there was 2 minors, especially a 9-year-old that was present at the time. So with the aggravating circumstances, they're looking at it's going to end up on the higher end of the scale, even though he has no prior records, which would bring down the leverage of on where the sentencing would go. But with those aggravating circumstances, it's going to go towards probably the higher end of the spectrum.
And we have to wait eight weeks for that, for the judge to actually make that decision. And that goes back to Thank you, Vito. One of our engineers extraordinaire that is always on top of things, and
that's Randall's phone. But so real quick, but this is part of a larger problem. Thanks a lot again, Vito. This is part of a larger problem though, right? Because Chauvin had 18 complaints, 18 formal complaints, and 2 of them ended in disciplinary action. It doesn't say the magnitude of the disciplinary action, but it happened, right? So this was a disaster waiting to happen, right? And I'll say it again. This was a disaster waiting to happen. This is what happens when we don't hold people accountable.
The new buzzwords. There's 2 new buzzwords out there.
It's new to them, not new to us.
Yeah, not to us. But we've been actually talking about this. You know, the city of Philadelphia now, transparency. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how many years have we been talking about it? We've been talking about the whole year plus that you've been here. Mm-hmm. You know, accountability. We've been talking about accountability from the political side and law enforcement side for the number of years. If you go back to one of our shows called Code Blue, one of our early shows, you know, we've been on top of these issues. We didn't just come in and say we're going to talk about these issues.
Yeah.
We've been on top of them. We've researched. We've had the experts.
Well, we've tripped over the issues too. Or they, I ain't let off Plymouth Rock. No, stop. Anyway, but real quick, a separate investigation from NPR found that police officers have shot and killed at least 135 black men and women across the United States since 2015. And over 3/4 of them were white officers. And this is not a shot at anybody, but I mean, this kind of speaks to why us people have been kind of saying, hey, listen, it was just like the NWA, right? you know, I know a lot of people not a fan of their music because it's vulgar. But when you listen,
I thought you were talking about, I thought you were talking about the Wrestling Alliance.
No, I was talking to you about.
I thought you were talking about National Wrestling Alliance.
Yeah, so they, you know, they and a lot of other groups during that time in the '90s where police brutality was at an all time high. Mm-hmm. And it kind of feels the same 30 years
Pat,
later.
But you just said something. Mm-hmm. This did not just happen. This has been percolating.
Yeah,
you know, this has been percolating for years.
Yep.
You know, it. This is, but our legislators, mm-hmm. you know, everybody talks about laws on the books. Laws are on the book, but if you don't enforce the laws,
it doesn't matter.
You know, if you have a crooked cop, you know, and think about it, folks. There are great, there are good cops. There are wonderful cop police officers and law enforcement period out there. You know, when you can't group everybody into, you know, the old saying is one bad apple spoils a whole bunch.
But it's not just one. But I'm not playing that game
but
anymore.
No. But I'm just saying there are more good than there are bad.
Yeah, but it remains to be seen.
But if we cannot hold those bad ones accountable,
yep.
and they keep getting off, I mean, look, I'm not mad at a union. I'm not mad at any of the law enforcement unions because at the end of the day, their job is to protect the folks that they work
to protect
for.
What's
this
in their best
has
interest?
Been the first time that folks can recall that unions said they got it right.
Oh yeah, no. Even police were like, hell no. That
the
was
National
just,
Police yeah. Officers Union.
It was like, no. Nah.
But here's the other caveat. Mm-hmm. And you and I talked about this. Mm. If that verdict did not come back guilty, we wouldn't be sitting, none of us would be sitting in this studio today.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Half of these urban cities would be torn apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Torn apart. You know, that's where we have a problem because folks are tearing up neighborhoods, tearing up for material things, destroying neighborhoods, and not doing what they need to do, you know. So we need to, you know, you ride around these areas. Most of these places are going to stay boarded up for 8 weeks until a verdict, and I'm sorry, the verdict's in until the sentences come up.
Yep.
And this is where, you know, folks.
There's a beauty store right in Delco where I work. they boarded their place up.
We're here in Philadelphia. You know, we're here in Philadelphia as the day before or days before in the area that Philadelphia made national news on, 52nd Street, not too far from where I live, where they tore up the whole corridor. You ride around and you see the fences waiting. You know what that reminded me of? And I told you this. That reminded me that you're going to cattle herd people in the one area so that they could control the situation. And this is not what a democracy is supposed to look like. This is not what our communities are supposed to look like.
Yeah, but I mean,
but when we have the mentality, see, people don't want to talk about the other side of this. Mm-hmm. When we have the mentality of folks that look at, we got to go to DTLR for sneakers or Foot Locker, when you are only looking at what you're putting on your feet as opposed to what you're putting into your head so that you can make a better yourself, we as a people have more work to do than just convicting police officers.
Yeah. I mean and again,
and people, that is not the only thing that we should be focusing on. And when you pull out those cameras, when you pull out those cell phones, start from the beginning. Had it not been for the young man that started that camera from the beginning of what happened, we don't know what the real outcome would have been today.
Yeah, it's just like the guy that who claimed that he was running and he said the guy took his gun or his taser and he shot him 5 times in the back. Now, I'm not good at science or trajectory of bullets or ballistics. Not a ballistics expert. But well, I know if you shoot somebody back 5 times.
And Arlen Specter is deceased.
You know, they obviously were running because they were afraid, right? And they should have been afraid. So I can't even remember this guy's name, but I think the judge actually put him in a deeper hole. Because he was like, he couldn't believe the fact that the man was, the former officer was trying to, and I'll pull up his name in a second, but was trying to justify the fact that he shot this young brother in the back.
See, that's another, you just mentioned something. Mm-hmm. You know, when we listen to our lawyers and we listen to police officers, they call them justifiable homicides.
Yeah, it's like casualties of war.
Justifiable homicide.
What is a justifiable homicide?
I'll tell you what. Vito, you
taser,
tell me.
Taser gun. Pop, pop. That's a justifiable homicide.
I don't know if you can put them words together in the same sentence.
Yeah, but they are done. They are done. You know, but, and you know, we're making light of this, but this is the reality, Vito, we are living in. You know, we are living into a world that a 26-year veteran can't decipher between the weight of a Glock 9, I believe she had, and a yellow plastic taser on her left hip.
Right?
Now, I'm right-handed. You're grabbing your gun with your right. And you're a training officer. How can you justify that?
That's the hand that makes the L.
We better stop putting new buzzwords out there because, you know, national news will probably grab it and everybody start running with it from the president on down.
That's his name. So, former officer. So, former police. This is CBS News. Judge holds 20-year sentence for a former South Carolina officer who killed black man. Former police officer Michael Slager, who fatally shot Walter Scott.
Yeah, he was running from away from the car.
Had appealed his claim, claiming his lawyer did a poor job. We saw the video! See, this is what I'm saying. Like, no, your lawyer didn't do a bad job. You're a bad person. Mm. Right? You are a bad person, dude.
But
period.
But most people will say when they lose a case that their lawyer didn't do them justice. You know, Vito's in there shaking his head. But when you think about it, if you start really looking at all of this and what's going down, you have to really, we got a major problem because we have the so-called internet reporters that they are so quick that are out there when something happens, takes a small piece of their video and pop it on all social media. You know, I mean, let's keep it real. I mean, I'm gonna say it. You cannot, and when there was a riot or the looting on 52nd Street that night, if I'm in the house, why would you go out the house by yourself? Walk, yes, Tommy Blackwell, I'm saying it. You go out the house, walk up and down 52nd Street, and start talking about us. And if you look at the video, his original video, when his wife claims on the news he was beat in front of his house, they live on Samson Street, not Walnut Street. The original video shows a young man throwing something at the police officer, then turning and running. On the corner of 52nd and Walnut, and if it's a lie, it was on the video. I watched it. Mr. Blackwell's knocked down. The police officer kept saying, watch his phone. Don't step on his phone. He wasn't saying, I didn't see anything where the police officer was hitting him. And then to be allegedly be beat in front of his house, which is a 3/4 of a block away, closer to, if you know from Philadelphia, if you know Samson Street, the house is just few doors away from White Rock, the back of White Rock Church, which is on 53rd Street. Man, that means the cops would have had to drag him up the street and beat him. So when you look at these things, make sure you look at them for what they are. And when folks just are, what are you really out there trying to do? payday, a job?
Well, but that's it. We're going to our first break today. Like I said, we got a bunch of theme songs today. I'm clowning. Tone and Tenor.
You don't even know what COVID-19 show we're on
today. Nah, I'm just listening. Just funny. So COVID-19, now that the verdict is in, what's next?
Back to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Our theme song out of the break was the original People's Court. The original People's Court theme song. Our topic today is COVID-19. Now that the verdict is in, what's next? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of things, you know, we can sit here and say, what's next? What's next? Question is, what will our judicial system do? Will our judicial system be fixed? You know, remember, folks, in some areas there are elections coming up in the next few months, and some of these elections include judges, and some of these judges will sit there and determine your fate, whether it's civil court or criminal court. And will be on those benches for some of them for 10 years. 10 years. And they will decide your fate. Mm-hmm. You know, don't fall into the politics and party rhetoric. Don't fall into that. All because a party, a councilman, a organization, elected official endorses someone, and the bar associations, make sure that that person that you're going to go vote for, though there's not a lot of information out there, and, you know, hey, election commission, you know, there's an election coming on May 18th in Philadelphia. Are we still in Jackson, Mississippi, delivering water?
No, that ain't got nothing to do with me. I still don't understand the point of that. But that's.
But we need to make sure those judges.
Listen, you're right.
Is worked.
But at this point, if people are not doing their jobs, like, again, we can always fire them. You know, every 2 to 4 years, we can fire people. And I think we. Well,
yeah, but we can't fire a judge. That's where we have a problem.
A judge is 10 years, but.
You can't fire a judge, you know, and you can't fire somebody. Now, keep it real. You can't fire somebody that doesn't have anybody running against them.
That's true.
Because the folks that were able to run and that could probably do a good job or a better job didn't have the money to fend off challenges.
Well, I mean, not even just that. Just, you know.
I mean, this is reality, Pat. You know, we're talking reality. We're not talking about what ifs. You know, the facts are there. And the facts will be there, you know, until someone has the kahunas, especially all of these folks that look like brown and black people that are sitting in these positions that are just sitting there, but they can run out and with I'm going to give you a box of food. They can run up for these photo ops, and yet and still behind closed doors, there's cutting the deals that are kicking people out of their homes. that are making sure that only certain organizations that they are affiliated with are getting money, that they are not doing what they're supposed to be. You know, elected officials have gotten us also in the predicament that we are in today. And then, but we cannot take all the blame, put all the blame on them. We have to put the blame on the folks that bypass the ballots, bypass the voter booths, the ones that don't walk in. When somebody that's a committeeman tells me that you got 284 registered voters and only 84 or 48 actually vote in each election, there's a problem.
Well, that's part of
There's a problem.
Yeah, but that's lack of engagement.
And that's lack of education. That's a lack of knowledge. That's lack of folks not doing their job.
Yeah, but again, it goes back to the original argument. Like, what is your job, right? Legislation and constituent services. That is your job, right? And then everything else in between. But if you're not going out into the community, or if you have the people that I like to call them... career runners, right? Because remember, everybody has the right to run.
Absolutely.
But you shouldn't just run because you have legs. You know what I'm saying? A big part of it.
And you shouldn't stay there with the same old ideas because you've got comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, we have people, and again, I've done a little bit of research, so I'm not going to speak malice, but you know, we do have two elected officials that have been in office. I mean, they're not in office anymore. But the longest, like I told you, the longest standing state rep was 44 years out of Reading. Guzman defeated him. and the other guy, I can't remember his name, but he was the longest standing senator at like 39 years or something like that. Like, that's a long time. That's a long time. And what your ideals are in the beginning of when you ran originally can't be the same 40 years later. It's, no, to me, it's virtually impossible.
Because, you know, there's a song... everything must change. Nothing stays the same. The young become the old. Mysteries do unfold.
Yeah.
Everything must change. So, you know, think about it. 40 years ago, they didn't have the laptops we're using today. And some of those gentlemen and women are not using the information highway. They have somebody in the offices that are ghosting for them.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. You know,
and then when crapola hits the fan, they're like, oh, what do we do now? What do we do now? But it, moving on to the where do we go from here, Pat? Where do we go from here?
Well, I still wanted to backtrack a little bit because also I want to talk about another situation. Lake Wales, Florida. You guys know, spent half of my childhood in South Florida, right? Lake Wales man who would have been sent to prison for 4 years based on claims in a police report was saved by a home surveillance camera. It showed that he did not attack an officer, as claimed in the report. So we're lucky he's even alive. After the incident, community leaders said that it's not the first time they've heard complaints about heavy-handed policing in their small town. It started by a traffic stop, Officer Colt Black, on the morning of February 8th. Chris Cordero was driving his beat-up Saturn to Publix, one of my favorite grocery stores in history. If you don't like that, fight me. With his picking up medicine for his son. This is what he said. I stopped at a sign on 3rd Street, and I noticed the officer was behind me way before I ever stopped, Cordero said, describing how the incident started. Unbeknownst to the officer, the camera across the street captured it all. I get out the vehicle to ask him what's going on because he was following me for a while, which, I'm sorry, that was dumb on his part. Never get, listen, folks, listen to me now, believe me later. Never get out of your car. If your paperwork is legit, you don't have to get out. Ask for a supervisor. If they're still being aggressive, put your hands out the window, out your sunroof, whatever. But do not get out of the car, please. Officer Black report said that Cordero immediately excited the driver. Exited the driver's door and began to charge towards his parole vehicle, which obviously wasn't true. It also indicated that Cordero approached the officer with closed fists. That wasn't true either. His hands were actually up in the video. So this is the stuff that, you know, we have to deal with. Yeah, Cordero ended up sucker punching him and cracking one of his teeth and slammed him to the ground. And then both officers actually beat him up so bad, I think he spent a little bit of time in the hospital. So if it wasn't for him getting bonded out, him being able to afford to bond himself out, right, because the average American, if they have an emergency that's $300 to $500, that can mess them up for a whole year or more, right? This is not me talking. This is statistics. I mean, if you don't believe me, look it up. So he went and found a neighbor who had a camera on their house that was facing in the direction where this incident happened, right? So this guy could have lost 4 years of his life. 4 years of his life, y'all. That's a problem, right? So this is not an isolated incident, right? This is just a couple months ago, y'all. It's not isolated.
Well, Pat, you know, as of today.
And officer lied. Oh, real quick. So the other officer that showed up, it was like the sergeant. I can't remember. For some reason, they didn't mention the other officer's name. But it was another officer who had several complaints filed against him and only one disciplinary action taken. But he's still on the street. He's still on the street. Like, this is this is why I can't necessarily celebrate. And then that plus the 153 people that have been shot in Minnesota. Right? And nothing's happened to any of those officers, right? But like we said, there was the previous officer, the Muslim brother, who shot the young white lady. He got startled. That was the report. He was startled. He ended up shooting her, but unfortunately, the shot was fatal. Mm. 12 years. Just like that. His career's over. So what's good for the goose has to be good for the gander.
You know, again, you know, good resource that we're using is gunviolencearchive.org. It keeps it up to date. I mean, officer involved incidents up to date, 404 folks. Subject suspect killed or injured, 289. Total numbers of deaths, 13,253 as of April 23rd, 2021. Mm-hmm. Homicides, murder, or unintentional, 5,795. You know, these numbers, you can go look at them. You know, these are numbers that. This is not just here in Philadelphia. This is not just here in Pennsylvania. It's not just in Delaware. It's not just. These numbers are out there. They are out there. And if you really wanted to really do the research and do the work, you can go and look at these numbers.
Yeah, you absolutely you know, can.
And you, even down to the last 72 hours. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you the address, the block, you know, what city it was in. You know, whether it was an officer involved shooting or whether it was a person shooting someone else. And that brings up something else, Pat. We can be jubilant and we can be vigorous in trying to, as people, trying to make sure someone in law enforcement is taken to task, taken to court. Mm-hmm. But we cannot have that same ability to turn over or tell a police officer or tell someone who killed your cousin down the street.
Nah, you go say, yeah, y'all don't have the same vigor.
That's right. You don't have the same vigor.
And if it's, again, if y'all in the game together, which is the street game, whatever you want to call it, I get the whole snitching and not snitching culture. But if it's an innocent bystander, and just to make it real again, I'm going to share the FBI uniform crime report numbers for the last few years, right? So from 2015 to 2021, 2015, there was 280 homicides, 1,255 people were shot, 934 of them were black males under 25. 2016, 277 homicides, 1,146 people shot. 971 of them were black males under 25. 2017, 315 homicides. Notice how the numbers are going up. 1,075 people shot.
But hold up. Before you go there, that's pre-COVID.
Oh, that's well before COVID. This is intentional.
So, folks, there's the other okey-doke. Mm-hmm. COVID may have played some.
Oh, no. It put a magnifying glass.
Right. That is what the problem is.
Yeah.
COVID has exposed
the
inequities of what's going on and really the real systemic racism. They're really what these elected officials are not doing, those that are doing their jobs and those who aren't. You know, because I'm not all of them are in that category, so I'm not grouping everybody in there.
Yeah.
The organizations that have been pet projects for a lot of folks for years, they have been exposed.
Even
the news media has been exposed for the way they cover certain areas, which they have been doing prior to COVID.
Yeah. The lack of fact checking and all that. But it's deeper than just black or brown. It's really attack on anybody that's not rich. Like, there's no 1%, y'all. It's literally like 0.05% people that are like ultra wealthy. And again, go to the numbers, right? There's 1,500 plus, probably a little under 1,600 billionaires in the world. Billionaires in the world. Remember, there's 7 billion people in the world. In America, we have 300 million or 350 million, something like that.
353 million.
600 billionaires live here. Y'all do the math. And we have
600 billionaires
live here
in the United States.
Yep. And 6 live in Pennsylvania.
In what is a capitalistic country, and we can't solve some of these problems.
Yeah, I mean, in Philadelphia, and then I'll get back to those numbers, we only solve every 2 out of 10 murders. That's less than
9%. 2 out of 10.
2 out of 10. There's a reason. Anyway, 2017, homicides, 315, 1,075, 906 people, black men under 25. 2018, 355 homicides, 1,242 people were shot, 955 of them, black males under 25. 2019, 356, over 1,400 people were shot. They didn't even give me the numbers for the black male. They started hiding numbers after a certain year for black male shot under 25. 2020, 499 homicides. 2,200 people shot. 2021 so far, 149 people. I couldn't even get the numbers for people shot. Because they know it's a perpetual issue. But again, when you go to these different places, and I gave you guys the hot zones for the police precincts, and this is not a shot at Philadelphia police, because I do have a good relationship with them. In certain districts, the 22nd, the 24th, the lower 39th, that's not in the Northwest.
Part of the 18th, 16th.
Part of 18th, 16th. And the 12th was probably one of the worst ones. Right? All these places, there's this slew of crime. The poverty rate is at least 30%. Right? You have people living in deep poverty. I mean,
there's a correlation. I mean, let's keep it real. There's a correlation with crime. And, you know, and we're going to be with our good friend Gary Hendler of Clean and Sober in the next hour, and you know, and talking about the abuse of drugs and how that in the black and brown community is really on the rise as well.
Yeah,
you know, and that all has this correlation. Yeah, you know, which is interesting.
But again, let's
go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I want to jump in real quick. Sure. I know you guys are talking about the Philly numbers here and all. And I was just reading a report. I don't know if it was yesterday, today, and all. Mm-hmm. Another problem for these areas, too, is that. It's another ongoing problem with the police and all. These guys, the people out there that were constantly shining up and wanting, hey, I'm going to be a cop. you can't find anybody who want to be cops anymore. That's another problem. The number's dwindling. You got an alarming number of cops retiring at this rate. Cops are getting jumping ship and getting out of the city.
Yep.
And then I was also reading this with the recruits and all, they usually have these academies going. They don't have an academy class going for new recruits possibly coming.
Nope.
So they're really in a lot of trouble.
And you think about it. Some of these recruits, their training is only 8 weeks.
Now, some places, police academy usually
it's supposed to be like 10 to 9 months program.
Yeah, they're in there for months.
Think about it. 9 to 10 months. And think about it. Some of these folks, think of what your military training is. Think about everything else that you have to go through. You go through less sometimes to be a police officer to protect and serve than what you do to be a surgeon, to be a lawyer, to be this, that, the other.
But we can't get into the protect and serve thing because if we look at the root of where policing came from, like, I don't want to piss anybody off. But anyway, we got to go to our next break.
Yeah, because Vito can't get to the dump button fast enough on you today.
Whatever. you guys are listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voice of the People. Today's topic, COVID-19. Now that the verdict is in, what's next?
Y'all get ready to put y'all up on something, man. Yo, when you see something ill, you know what I mean? That's hope. Anything ill you see is hope. Have me a big six at the curb, that's hope.
Okay.
Especially if you got the fully equipped kit on it, it's hope. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yo,
I had this bad chick uptown, she was hope. Had me messed up in the head, I mean.
Whoa.
Bought the chick diamonds and pearls, I mean.
Whoa.
Should've seen the ice shining on the wrist.
Whoa.
Now money ain't the problem, see my dough is like.
Whoa.
Pull out my bankroll on y'all dudes like.
Whoa.
Lost the blue strip and 2/10 like.
Whoa.
Money wanna beat my blueprints, I'm like.
Whoa.
Had to hit the brake on y'all brothers like.
Whoa.
Brothers getting bagged on my block like.
Whoa.
Coming home within a half an hour like.
Whoa.
Fun like they had the manpower like.
Whoa.
More or less, more so, I rip your torso, I live the fast life. Come through in the pour slow like whoa. My people like dough, like dro, nitro, my flow, nice flow.
Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. Our topic today is now COVID-19. Now that the verdict is in, what's next?
Yeah.
What's next?
So, real quick, the reason why I play this song, because it had nothing to do with today's topic. Robert Ross, also known as Black Rob, born in Buffalo, New York, but, you know, from Harlem. He was a hip-hop artist from my childhood. So I wanted to pay homage to him. He died at 51, which is crazy to me. But he sent a lot of love to the great Earl Simmons, also known as DMX. So, yeah, man, our hearts and minds are with those families during this trying time.
Yeah, you know, not just gun violence. We have black men and black women dying early
in their 50s. That's crazy.
Just from what's probably trauma of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trauma of life. Hey, you know, we heard once the verdict was in, we heard the president, we heard the Floyd family, we heard Attorney Benjamin Crump and several others.
Yeah, Chris Stewart.
Talk about the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act of 2021. Now, let's think about this. This act, this came out last year in the 116th Congress, and it didn't get through. Right now, it's sitting in the 117th Congress, and the sponsor of this bill was introduced on 2/24/21 by Representative Karen Bass of California in the committees of the Judiciary, Armed Services, Energy, and Commerce. And it went to the Senate on 3/9/2021, received in the Senate. There have been two roll calls on the vote. What does that mean? That means it's sitting there waiting to get out of the Senate,
still in committee. Well, at least it didn't die in committee.
No, not yet.
You know, they didn't murder it because often.
But it passed the House on 3/3/21.
Yeah, some of that know me, you know, I've done legislative research, and sometimes especially if they don't like you, your legislation dies in committee, like, or it doesn't even make it to committee.
But what does this bill, you know, we hear the George Foreman Justice and Police
George
Act.
Floyd.
George
Foreman's Floyd. A grill.
Yeah.
Randall hungry.
Yeah, George Floyd Justice and Police Act. This bill addresses a wide range of policies and issues regarding policing, practicing law enforcement accountability. It increases accountability for the law enforcement misconduct, restricts the use of certain policing practices, enhances transparency and data collection, and establishes best practices and training requirements. The bill enhances existing enforcement mechanisms to remedy violation by law enforcement. Among other things, it does the following. Lowers the criminal intent standard from willful to knowing or reckless to convict a law enforcement officer of misconduct in a federal prosecution. Limits qualified immunity as a defense to liability in private civil action against a law enforcement officer. What does that mean? That means that right now, you know, it's you can't really sue the law enforcement officer directly.
Because of qualified immunity.
Qualified immunity.
But remember how they did OJ, right? Even though he won. That was another time we celebrated for no reason. But I get it. It was, I'll be honest with y'all, like, I feel like he did it. But that's just me. So,
the glove don't fit. You got to acquit.
I don't know, man. There was too many holes. But again, how many times did that happen down south where somebody was lynched, murdered, shot?
Emmett Till.
You know, Emmett Till, they took this young man. He was 14. He was a baby. They took him out of his uncle's house, right, and murdered a boy. And then come to find out the young lady who claimed that he said something, you know, on her deathbed. Now you got this coming to Jesus moment.
Right. But let me finish this one
yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It says it establishes a framework to prevent and remedy racial profiling by law enforcement at the federal, state, and local levels. It also limits the unnecessary use of force and restricts the use of no-knock warrants, chokeholds, and chokeholds.
Yeah,
the bill creates a national registry and a national police misconduct registry. What that says is that this bill, if Pat was the officer in City A, and he has a whole list of misconducts, Pat says, well, let me get out of this city and move to City B.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if there's no way of following what he has done in the past, he can continue to do the same old, same old.
Yep.
But what's interesting about this bill is that right here in Philadelphia, almost identical, the city is trying to pass what the federal government wants to make a national across the nation.
Yeah, so, I mean, they get it right. I mean, Winston Churchill said this, you can count on an American to do the right thing after everything that didn't work. Didn't work, right? So we're going to do the right thing after everything didn't work. But while I was trying to make the point about OJ, right, remember, he was acquitted, but they sued him civilly and he lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
OJ was a smart businessman. He was a smart businessman. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, when you really think about it, everything that OJ has now is rented. You know, and they couldn't touch his pensions or none of that. So, he was smart enough to figure out a way around not having to pay.
Yeah. You know? They still took some, like, his prize possessions, like the Heisman Trophy and all that.
Well,
you
know, I mean, he went back to jail for that.
I mean.
Well, he did do time for that. You know, he got caught dirty.
Literally red-handed.
You know, crazy. Red-handed.
But I was just.
He wanted his stuff back.
Yeah, but I brought that point up so to let you guys know, like, you can still, in some situations, but now they're trying to create an apparatus or an ecosystem where, if you mess up as a police officer, like, you can actually be sued and lose your shirt.
Let's think about something, Pat.
Mm.
You know, we're jubilant, the outrage, you know, or what have you.
Mm.
let's not forget Rodney King.
Yeah.
You know, literally beat down.
He got checked, though.
Yeah.
But Floyd family got checked, too, $27 million.
So
I ain't counting nobody's money, but I'm just, you know, that's why Breonna Taylor didn't get just, I think they got like $12 million. So, like, you know, unfortunately, there's these backdoor deals that Randall's always talking about that are made, you know, sometimes people do get some vindication, but you, of course, it doesn't count that because doesn't, you can never bring her
you
back.
You can never bring back.
You know, but there's a lot of people who still haven't received any type of justice. That's
right. Yeah, I mean, look, the everyday person.
With Philando Castile's mom.
The everyday person that's on the streets or gets killed on the streets of these urban cities can't get justice. But if it is someone of known magnitude, they're going to go out there and they're going to, you know, we're going to spend, think about it. We spend millions of dollars on these trials.
Yeah.
We spend millions of dollars on these trials. But we can't even, as you said, here in the city of Philadelphia, 2 murders out of 10 is what we're solving.
Yeah.
You know, while we talk about police, you know, we have to do this shout out, you know, because I think that we are in partnership. If sitting behind Pat is our caring partnership, and you know,
for those of us that's not on air, but
for those of us that are not, we have a.
If you're on Facebook, you can see this.
Right, but. we have established a partnership with just right up the road with the Norristown Police Department. And it was as a result of we talked about
of an adversarial
right, you know,
incident,
right? but before it escalated, we came, met, sat down, and figured out how we could make a difference.
Yeah, but the difference was in this case, the leadership actually wanted to talk.
Right,
right. I think Lawless did a great job, but and then you know the officer, he was honest with us. He thought that we was going to tear him a new one. But at the end of the day, it's like, we already got what we wanted. Like, you know, they tore y'all apart on social media. There's really nothing else to do but try to help you put yourself back together. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes out of chaos can come order.
Right. Law and order.
Yeah.
You know, but we were out yesterday with them.
On Markley Street.
And we're going to continue to... you know, try to bridge that gap, because the only way that we can bridge some of this and try to get the information is that law enforcement, community, families, media has to be all begin to work together and for the greater good and come to the table. You know, those of you that have egos, check your egos at the door. Those of you that aren't doing nothing, get out the way. Because these youngsters are coming.
Yep. Run with us or run from us.
They made a difference in the George Floyd case, and they're going to continue to make a difference, and they're not going to be silenced. And you may have to, if you looked at, you looked at how Al Sharpton had to take a backseat to the youngsters. You have to look at what's going on around.
It wasn't just him.
You know, all of those
Jesse
old
Jackson, like he's about to pass out.
You know, I felt sorry for Jesse. They shouldn't even have him up
these
there.
These washed up civil wrong leaders. Get out the way.
You know, and it's time for these young, and they're not just black. They're of all nationalities from all around the world trying to make a difference and make the world a better place.
Yeah, I think Floyd's brother had mentioned, he did a good job, by the way, for somebody.
And this was a guy that in the beginning didn't even want to speak.
I think he did a wonderful job.
You know, I forgot the name of the Institute for Civil Justice, Theolis Floyd. I forgot the other.
I don't know if I have it in here.
But he actually, and he told him, the work is not done. This is just the beginning.
Yeah, tip of the iceberg.
Tip of the iceberg, and there's a lot more to be done. So stop believing that one case won is the answer to all.
Yeah. Now, this might be a message to, you know, the future for sure. But, again, I wouldn't overly celebrate. That's just me.
Well, you know, our engineer, you know, they making us do this hard stop nowadays. So,
well, you know, this is what happens when people don't follow rules. But, you know, I understand.
You're listening to, we want to thank everybody for listening to us today. You're listening to Tone and Tenor. You follow us on Twitter. We are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. To find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/ToneTenor to find our page. Again, we thank the police officers of Norristown. We thank the Nathaniel Robinson Legacy Foundation.
Yeah, also their community team as well.
And their community team. We want to thank our engineer and guest input today, Mr. Mike Vito.
Vito.
You know, see, people don't know Mike has a little touch of law enforcement in him. So,
Mike can read very well.
And he can agree to disagree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we can
He doesn't overlook the facts, which I appreciate.
Yeah. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edouard. Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of the People. Talk radio show, here on WWDB 860 AM out of Philadelphia.
And stay with us as we continue conversations with our good friends Gary Hendler on Clean and Sober Radio.
The guy that was pardoned by Trump.
Yeah. He, you know, law enforcement worked well for him.
Yep. 40 years later. I've been struggling.